Hello and welcome to Dice Populi, typically a seafaring adventure through the Badlands, but this is the fifth Wednesday of the month, and on fifth Wednesdays we like to do something a little bit different. Usually this will be something like a Q&A or some crazy fever dream of Ryan's, but this month we've got something a little different, and it's very, very fun. You are about to listen to an episode of Chowder's Creation, featuring a one-shot written in the Call of Cthulhu system. Now, if you don't know much about Call of Cthulhu, don't worry about it. Just know that the rolls are out of 100. The lower you get is better, and it's generally going to be pretty creepy. We also have some guests on this one. It's going to be Chowder and Pat, but also our friend Keenan from the Common Geeking program, and maybe a voice you might recognize from another podcast called Microphones and Monsters, but we will let them introduce themselves. So if you're just joining now, just be aware this is a little different from our typical fare. It's not going to feature the original music or the sound design in most of our episodes. It's just going to be four people having a good, if somewhat disturbing, time. So let me get out of the way. Our fifth Wednesdays usually have a lot of updates, and I'll be coming back halfway through to give you an update on our seasons and all our community stuff. But for now, I hope that you will enjoy Hayward's Soiree.
Hello, and welcome to Dice Populi. And this is our, this is going to be our 5W, I believe, right, Pat?
I believe so.
It is. I don't know why I even bothered asking, because I know.
Well, yeah. Now I'm the idiot.
No, you're not. I'm just like, why did I even bother asking that? Is there a script? Nah, we're doing this off the cuff, because we are professionals. So, for this little special bonus episode, we've got ourselves a little group here. There's me, Chowder. I will be GMing this game.
Are you not even going to give me the option this time? You're not going to let me prefer to call you Timal or Chowder?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Tis I, Chowder. and the fellow who just spoke up here is...
Yeah. Hey, I'm Pat. I play Locke on the main campaign and Maul on the Entrenched campaign, which is our Patreon campaign.
I'm Richard. I actually play Alistair on a different podcast entirely called Microphones and Monsters.
No, hi, my name is Ken. I play anyone on any known podcast, so I'm a bit of the outlier here.
Without further ado, let's begin. The year, 1932. You've all been invited to a large party thrown by the fabulous Mr. Hayward. We're well into the Prohibition era, in the Great Depression, and Mr. Hayward, at first it seemed like he was another victim of the Depression, but he turned his luck around and is a big success. His shipping company doing wonders, and he wants to show off his wealth and opulence by having all the big names here. Politicians, actors, anyone you can speak of is at this little party in his secluded mansion. Our party will now introduce themselves.
Hello, I am Dr. Gent. I am a professor from Moscow. I have new invention which will make refrigeration much more widespread and more efficient with a nuclear engine.
Well, I'm Reginald Reeves. I'm a radio personality doing the news on the evening radio.
And my name is Primo Galvini. I was flown in from the New York outfit. Don't ask what I do. I'll tell you what I do. If I want to. If I don't, I won't tell you. Gotcha? And if I don't tell you, I'm probably doing it.
All right. So, each of you are at the party. And you are currently in the reception area. Nice and large. You can see... all sorts of people, perhaps maybe 100, maybe a little bit more. Descending down the stairs is Mr. Hayward himself. Good evening, everybody. I would like to say it is wonderful to have you here. Enjoy the champagne. And he like winks into the crowd, specifically at the chief of police. Do not worry. It's all taken care of. enjoy yourselves, eat, have fun. And with that, I've got some business to attend to. Salutations. And he walks back up the stairs. And everyone's having a good time. Champagnes are flowing. There are butlers and servers walking around, asking people if they would like entrees or what have you. And so what are you guys doing?
Primo is making for the hors d'oeuvres. He is also most likely not so casually hitting on any of the available women. Probably getting slapped and stuff thrown in his face, but he kind of shrugs it off. He's not very self-aware.
Can I see what kind of hors d'oeuvres are out there?
Yes. You see deviled eggs, some strange foreign thing. Raw fish, it seems. Says Ooh. It's sushi. Whatever the hell that is.
My character is definitely making a beeline for the sushi.
Alrighty.
And Reginald is basically just drinking some champagne and schmoozing, rubbing elbows, and generally hobnobbing with all of the upper crust here.
As Primo and Gent are helping themselves to the hors d'oeuvres, and eclectic radio host is talking it up with a big-time actor, Billy Thornton, you hear a scream from the back. Oh! A crowd starts gathering around. What do you do?
Primo shrugs over his shoulder, stuffs his face with more hors d'oeuvres, and then, like, grabs a handful, and then saunters over.
Dr. Gent will walk over and try to push through the crowd. He's a fairly short man, probably only like 5'6", 5'8", but he's kind of thick with two C's. So he kind of weasels his way through everybody's waist and just emerges on the other side of the crowd line. Says, what is the meaning of this?
You make your way to the front. And you see woman, like, hysteric, like, crying. And she's, like, talking to the chief of police. And on the ground is another woman, dead.
Ooh,
gross.
Quite a gruesome scene, too. Her back, like, ripped open. Like, someone took a axe to it.
Reginald will have pushed himself up to the front by now. And is feverishly writing notes in a notepad.
Dr. Gent will take out an invention of his own making, which are magnifying glasses. It's kind of similar to the glasses from National Treasure that have different lenses in front of it, except they magnetize instead of having multiple like levels of magnification coming out. So he's adjusting them as necessary, trying to gain a little bit more clues in the surrounding area.
Stands next to Reggie. And just kind of like, what you write down there, huh?
Well, if you must know, this is quite the scoop. I really need to find out everything that I can, because this is going to be the story, I tell you.
Dead broad, damn a dozen. Aim higher, wait till someone fancy gets killed.
Do I notice anything with my magnifying glasses?
I'd say that goes under spot hidden. Make a spot hidden roll and...
Not going to go well, boys.
I believe in you.
It was a 29, and my spot hidden is 25, so I failed.
It's hard to really tell, especially since the police chief. All right. Get back, everyone. The police will handle this. That they should be here an hour.
This is unacceptable.
Look, this mansion is kind of secluded in the middle of a forest. It's kind of a pain.
Yes, but you have many smart people here right now, including yours truly.
Hey.
I kind of twirl my big bushy mustache while I say this.
Get back. Let the professionals handle this, okay? And he just kind of stands there, telling everyone to stay back from the body.
Oh, just so you know, I have a Geiger counter on me because I have radioactive items. Let me explain this.
Yeah.
Let me explain this. Because my character created a nuclear-powered engine, And as part of this, he had a Geiger counter to, like, monitor any radioactive leaks just in case something bad happened, he could get out and not die. As part of my research, I developed a way to make a lantern that is powered off of radioactivity. So I have a radioactive lantern on me, and I brought the Geiger counter just in case the radioactive lantern malfunctions.
Interesting.
So if you, for some reason, would have a reason to proc a Geiger counter with any of your shenanigans, just keep that in mind.
Understood. Right now, your Geiger counter is saying everything's normal. So, yeah. Yeah. And, but you do hear start hearing the police chief call out, "Where's Mr. Hayward?"
Primo leans back over to, Reginald, says, "So, what's your name again?"
Reginald Reeves.
Reggie, so, how would you handle some bozos like this, huh?
Well, I'm not certain you know what you mean.
Well, you're gonna get a big scoop with some, you know, flatfoots over here caught in the body, huh? How would you deal with that, huh? Can't exactly find any clues with a bunch of guys standing around, can you?
Well, I suppose you make a very good point.
By the way, Primo Galvini. That's me.
At some hesitance, I suppose I'll consider it a pleasure.
Most do.
My character is very obviously Russian.
Whiskey.
I am not going to partake in any of the champagne, but I have a small flask of vodka that I have stashed in my lab coat that I will occasionally be sipping on.
And in a huff, the police chief starts barging upstairs. "Mr. Hayward, I need to speak with you," he says.
What's the police chief's name?
I don't believe he said it.
I don't think I said his name.
Would Primo know his name?
Roll knowledge.
Ooh, roll knowledge.
Intelligence,
yeah.
Oh, boy, okay. So, intelligence is a stat, or is it investigative skill?
It's a characteristic, yeah. Or, I mean, I suppose. Is investigation even a fucking thing?
All right, so...
Yeah, investigation is a thing.
I got 27, and it's 30. So, that's good, so right?
That's a success. Yep. All right. You know that the inspector's name is Police Chief Dennis Lamont. He's known for looking the other way if you give him enough money.
Hey, that just like Lamont. Always storming around. He never had any sense of tact. Hey, guys, listen. Why don't you just let me handle this? Hey, Reggie, come with me. You want a scoop? Let's go. Come on. And he goes back up the stairs, you know? He starts following the police chief.
Reginald, his interest peaked, will actually follow.
You move up the stairs, and right now you see you're in the next floor, and to your left and right are hallways, and you can hear, like, footsteps stomping down to the right side of you.
Well, he's going that way. What's the left side look like?
It's actually pretty symmetrical, so you're seeing a hallway and, you know, some... doors along those hallways, and same for the other side.
All right, I'm just going to follow the footsteps then.
All right.
He's periodically looking back to see that Reginald's still following.
He certainly is.
All right. So as you go down the hallways, you can see some open doors, and a lot of bedrooms, a lot of bathrooms. I mean, it's a massive mansion, so of course. You pass by, that is... three bedrooms, and before you get to the end of the hallway, and you see a man, you see Lamont staggering out the door. Oh, hey there. I just had to ask Hayward a few questions, but get back downstairs. Yeah, get back.
Hey, you don't get to talk to me like that, Chief Lamont, all right? Unlike you, who's here for pleasure, I'm here on business, all right?
What kind of business?
I'm trying to talk to the guy who hired me. This guy over here, what kind of business? My personal business, Jesus, guy.
Hired you to do what? And as he's, like, saying all this, he's, like, sort of rubbing the back of his neck.
Are you okay? You got, like, an itch or something? Huh? Your bubba take a little too much off?
It's nothing. Allergies. What? Anyways, is what business do you have that could
allergies
possibly...
to, like, you know, manners? Because I can see that pretty well.
Get back downstairs.
I don't think I'm gonna. Anyway,
Well, in any case, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to have a word with Mr. Hayward about what's going on here.
Look, yeah, he wants to have a word about what's going on here. He's a famous radio show. His name is Reggie. You haven't heard of Reggie?
Reginald Reeves.
Yeah, Reggie reads. He, like, reads books on the radio and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I listen to your radio show. I really can't have you tampering with the witness. Sorry, but that's just, can't have the press messing with this.
Well, how can he be a witness if he wasn't even there when it happened?
And he's like, you know what? I'm done answering questions. And he, like, starts shoving you guys back a little.
Primo just kind of holds up his hand quietly, and he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a crisp 10, which is a lot of money in the 30s. I think my friend Jackson needs to talk to the witness, huh?
Yeah, it's persuade.
Oh, I'm not good at persuading.
Would the bribe give him some sort of, like, advantage or anything?
I would say no.
Okay.
I have a 10 in persuade. I got a 3.
Yay, let's go. Believe in the dice.
I will. As I think I told you guys when I first joined this, like, you know, group, I built Primo for one thing only.
So he takes the cash and just grunts, whatever. Starts walking downstairs.
See, I told you. These guys, they're all predictable, you know? Just gotta know what to say. Gotta be, once you speak the language, everything falls into place. Socrates said that, I think, you know?
Socrates.
So let's go talk to Mr. Haywood.
All right.
Yeah, I read. Right. So you like the radio? Like Tracy, or like what?
No, it's really more of a news program.
All the news.
The general goings on. Things going on in the world.
Ah, so like big things, huh?
Whenever I can.
Ah, then you're lucky. You should talk to me then. You should stick with me. I'm a big thing. Come on, let's go.
I'm a big man.
Well, if you can
man.
Give me the scoops, I'll certainly stick with you.
Put my big boy pants on.
So the door is closed. Well, what do?
I turn the handle.
You turn the handle and just open it up? All right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to die. Great. Well, I'll roll up a waiter or something.
It'll be okay.
As you start opening the door up, you see someone just, like, stop the door and just... peek through the little opening you made. What? Who are you? What do you want?
Hey, is Haywood in there?
That would be me.
Yeah, Haywood. One would think you would recognize a friend. All right, it's Primo from the New York outfit.
Right. I owe you money, don't I?
Yeah. I mean, well, you owe us a lot of stuff, but like, why don't you open up the door? And you talk to my friend Reggie, okay?
I'd much rather not, but, like, I'm happy to talk.
Haywood?
Well, yeah, the first thing I gotta wonder is what's going on with the dame down there that's at the accident rack?
Oh, yes, the police chief told me. It would appear that my wife has been murdered, but, you know.
Oh, your wife, you say?
Yes.
This is a very interesting reaction for your wife to be dead.
Yes.
Well, you know, people grieve in their own ways. It's quite hard to...
It's been a minute.
Yes, well, you know.
So, real quick, Haywood, let's just follow this, you know, this scenario. So, what do you think happened with your wife?
Well, you know...
Primo's having a great time.
I'm not... You're not the only one I owe money to, but, yeah. You know what? I don't really want to answer any more questions. So, he, snaps his fingers, and, you hear, footsteps, coming from his room. Two rather large men, and in, like, butler outfits, come out. They will show you the way. Hey, downstairs.
How large?
Like 6 feet, or one guy's like 6'8", the other's like 5'12". Or five, that's 6 feet.
5'12". My God. He's slightly above average. Primo's only average height. Ah! Primo looks to Reggie, and he says, hey, Reggie, You got any more questions for Mr. Hayward?
Well, I have plenty more questions, but it seems he doesn't really want to answer them. But I'll tell you this, Mr. Hayward. I'll tell you this. If I don't get any kind of answers right now, it doesn't look very good for you. And this kind of thing reported probably won't turn out well.
Hear that? Not going to turn
out
well.
Yes, well, all I got to say is I've been upstairs the whole day, and my wife is downstairs, so...
Dead.
Dead, yeah. So unless you want to say I can teleport from room to room, I don't think I did it. So, ta-ta.
Well, while I can agree, you probably didn't do it. That's not to say that you didn't have a hand in it.
Why, Reg. Okay, all right, Mr. Haywood, we'll be back. And I'm going to try to escort Reggie away. Reggie, listen. You could take some lessons from me in subtlety. If you're going to accuse a man of having something to do with his wife's murder, one, best is not to do it in front of two jamokes. They look like they eat Charles Atlas for breakfast. And two, don't just say it unless you're armed. Holy shit, are you armed, Reggie?
Well, no, but, I don't know. I'm just a little forthright when trying to get
to the... That was stupid. You always be armed at these kind of parties. Alright, I saw some freaky fucking Ruski, like, playing, you know, like, checkers or something with the body. Let's go drift out.
Playing checkers? What? I don't know, last I heard, you don't play checkers with glasses.
So, Primo's gonna head back down to, body, which I'm assuming, Dr. Jet's still around?
Yeah.
I'm floating around, but the police have obviously been dissuading me from taking a closer look, so...
Well, here's the thing, because, right now, the chief's really the only one...
Oh, hell yeah.
Only one, so, like, the body is kind of unattended right now.
If Dr. Jack isn't by the body, Primo's going to go and try to find him.
I mean, yeah, if the police chief left, then I would definitely go back and keep trying to search for clues.
Yeah, so without... So, like, the moment he, like, gone from there, you just completely disobey what he told you and start looking for clues around the body. I'm going to have you make another spot hidden check. And I say spot hidden and or medicine check to, like, learn stuff about the body.
My medicine is a one, so I'm going to continue going with spot hidden. Even worse this time, 86.
Digging through the body. And like, what you're noticing is that, like, the way her body is gouged, it's strange, right? Like, at first glance, it looks like someone took a weapon to her back, but... the way the flesh plays out, it's as if something came from inside. You find in her hand her hand, and like it's in rigor mortis, so like it's like really tightly gripped.
That was a quick answer to rigor.
Look, I am not a paramedic, okay, Keenan. And in her hand, you find a rattle, as if belonging to a baby.
I don't fucking like that. That's Keenan speaking. I don't fucking like that at all.
Do I notice that, like, maybe her stomach was a little bit far along in a pregnancy or something? Like, there's a baby bump?
No.
Dark.
No.
God.
No, not like a baby bump, no.
Well, okay. All right, thank you, Chandler. I thought we were really starting.
Yeah. okay. The other thing is there like a trail of blood leading anywhere?
You know what? Yeah, there is a trail of blood, but it only goes out a few feet towards the window and then stops. And like this window is on pretty high up, so like a person can't really jump down from there.
So it goes up to the window and then nowhere. So let's say, can I look out the window on maybe the wall of the building and see if there's any stuff going on there?
Yeah. So the problem that occurs is, like, the window is, like, 7 feet up. It's, or, no,
oh,
not
God
seven.
Damn.
Like, ten feet up. And so you can't really look over because you ain't tall enough. Nobody is.
But the trail itself does lead up the wall to the window?
The trail
does it
is...
stop on the ground?
It stops on the ground.
Okay, well, at this point, I'm assuming they would make it back.
Yeah, so what do you guys do now that you're back?
I'm going to attempt to spot hidden on the body. Primo knows something about corpses.
Does he know anything about rattles?
Very little.
All right. Roll for spot hidden.
My spot hidden is 20. I rolled a 49.
How is it 20? I thought it was a minimum of 25.
It is a minimum of 25.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's 25. I don't know, man. Well,
all right.
Luckily for me, 25 is still below 49.
Yeah. All right. True. So would you like Reginald, to put? Would you like to push your roll or use luck or just leave that as is?
So luck means I automatically win, or I have to add points to it? Because that's a lot to add.
You take points from your luck to add to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I have like a lot of luck. Yeah. So.
It would be a lot. That's 24.
It would be a lot of luck. Yep.
That's a lot of luck. So I'm not gonna push anything. But you know what? Not gonna push it. It's not worth it.
You were saying something, Reginald?
Yeah. So Reginald's going to actually approach the doctor that he saw earlier examining the body. Hey there. You seem like a fine gent.
Well, I should hope so.
I was wondering. You were examining the body. Anything interesting that you found?
Yes. This quote unquote axe wound in back looks like it came from inside the body.
Hold also, up there. Primo was standing there next to him. What do you mean? There ain't no axes in the body.
If you look at wound, the body did not cave in. It caved out.
You saying her spine axed its way out or something?
Maybe not spine. Maybe something inside her.
Reggie leans over. Sorry, Primo leans over to Reggie and says, "Hey, Reggie. Maybe this doctor guy wasn't the best, you know, like, lead."
He takes a sip of vodka, a very large sip of vodka.
He's drinking grain alcohol.
Potatoes are not a grain.
Reginald's going to actually try and take a really good hard look at the body, because what he said doesn't seem to make any sense, and he's going to try and make some sense of it or see anything that he might be able to see. So I guess that'd be a spot hidden for him. It's going to be 80 off of the off of the 70 that his spot hidden is.
Oh man!
What? Oh wow!
I think Reginald's going to go ahead and drop 10 luck on it.
Also note that you can also try to push your roll, which is which basically means you roll again, and if you fail, that counts as a fumble, which is basically the equivalent of a crit fail.
A crit fail, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But, you know, if you succeed, it's as if you succeeded the roll. It's like a double or nothing
actually,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Actually, fair enough. Like, in this particular case, that probably would be a little better.
All right.
So we'll just push then. 16.
All right. That is a huge success. You're looking through the body, and you see something wriggling. You take a closer look. It's a maggot?
Hey, doctor. I don't know if I caught your name, but I think you might have missed this.
I'm going to go over, pull out my glasses again and put them on and take like a pair of tweezers or like forceps and pick up the maggot and inspect it real close.
You've never seen a species like this before. It's quite strange.
Interesting.
Primo's like over their shoulders. I've seen something like that. Yeah, you drop them out in the Hudson. You see lots of that kind of stuff.
But like most maggots you've seen are only maybe a centimeter at most. Even smaller than. But this is like a good 3 inches. Gint didn't see it earlier because it was like just kind of under the flesh, but now it's now it was kind of moving around, and that's how Reginald saw. So
I'm gonna attempt to pry the women's or the woman's hand open and take the rattle out of it.
All right. You pry the hand open and you see that along with the rattle, there is a note. It says, "Who is a compressa?" It says,
"A compressa. Who is a compressa?
Who is a compressa?"
On the back, you see like text, like from a book. It really just says smaller and lax, but that's really it.
Smaller and lax. So, this is weird. I am a professor. I would have read a lot of books in my life. Would that fall under library use or art and craft?
Library use. What? You weren't making the book.
The book.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's still an art.
Hey, Primo's cut out a lot of, like, you know, words from magazines. Can he,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, no, I would say that's library use.
Okay, so I'm going to try to make a library use roll to see if I recognize what book this might be from.
Alrighty.
I got a 28, and my skill is a 50.
You recognize the text, like, small and lax is not the only thing there. It's just the most relevant, but you realize from the font and the page number and the little thing at the bottom, a little blurb at the bottom, it's from an encyclopedia, a very common one that, like, people like to, the layman likes to buy. So it's not like some special library. It's something you can find in anybody's, like, little personal library.
Like maybe Mr. Hayward's?
Could be. Could be.
Do I know where Mr. Hayward's library would be?
Yes, you do. Because, you know, you've been about in parties. So, like, the library would be... Looking at the map I made here. Yeah, so from the room you're in, it would be... You would go south, then west, past a lobby and a bar lounge, south again, and you'd come across the...
At this point, I don't know what the other guys want to do.
What's a compressor?
But I recognize book we maybe find in the library.
Wow, you saw professor, huh? Get this, Reggie. The books could be the library.
Well, I suppose that's the place to be.
Is it going to be made of paper too, Doc?
I don't understand. What book is not made of paper?
Let's just go to... Let's just ankle to the library, all right? All these guys.
All right. You make your way through the crowd, but you can overhear the police chief telling everyone, "You can't leave. You're all witnesses. I need to ask you questions." Because, like, the way you're going, it has you pass, or, like, has you, like, by the entrance, and then you take, or go west. So as you go down, go into the library, you see papers strewn all over the ground. Mostly newspapers, strewn, and a few books scattered about round two, and one at the desk.
When you say scattered around, like signs of the struggle scattered around, or just like messy?
Just like messy, like someone is like reading through and just tossing it to the side.
I would like to make a search for this book.
I say roll library use.
Okay.
While he's doing that, Primo, very nonchalant, looks at a few books, tosses a page here and there. He's not actually looking, but he wants to be made to see like he's looking.
Yeah. So Primo, you're just glancing around and you're just seeing like she was trying to look for a person, and like the compressor doesn't really come up anywhere. You know, obituaries, surveys, and stuff like that. Just anywhere that would mention.
Primo's not looking that hard. He's not. Yeah. He's literally glancing at books and just going,
okay.
Library, books, paper, pen,
get,
desk.
What did you get on your library use?
I got a 68, but I would like to push my luck.
Okay.
Pushing his luck for a fucking book.
So I'm going to roll again.
Luck is different from pushing a roll, but yeah.
Oh, I would like to push my roll.
Yep.
I got a 19, so.
Okay.
That is well within, that's even within my, like, half.
Yeah, you know, roll. Extreme success, yeah.
Okay,
so, there we go. So, like, initially it's like, yeah, no, she's, like, looking for a person. But then you see that, like, there are more books, and they're all, like, encyclopedias. And you see, like, notes written on it, like you see certain animals, like snakes, not this, flatworms, not this. But you get to the page that actually caught her interest. Ampulex compressa, also known as the jewel wasp or emerald cockroach. This particular creature is known for her laying eggs inside its host and injecting a complex series of chemicals that makes the host docile. It then drags said host into dark hole and covers it up. In about 2 to 3 days, the host is eaten alive by the newly hatching larva.
We must go find the body.
The body? We know where the body is. It's at the staircase.
I don't know if the body is still there.
Okay. Why?
No time. Read this, and then I just leave. And I hand him the page
with
a compressor on it.
Instantly to Reggie.
So Reginald will read the page. Same information, I suppose. That doesn't sound pleasant at all. I'm still not sure what exactly he wants with the body, but maybe we should go find out.
All right, let's go.
Is the body still there?
The body's still there, but there's less of it. And the maggot that you saw is not there anymore.
Do I see a slime trail of the maggot walking away or anything?
You do see a slime trail, and it is going. Yeah, it is leading east to the drawing room.
I will follow the trail.
All right.
Primo just says he's looking at the body, which is he's kind of distracted by like the how there's less of it, and he just goes, "Okay, like the hors d'oeuvres weren't that bad, or am I just imagining something?"
some bad sushi. All right. So at this point, I think I'm going to take out my little lantern that runs off of nuclear power just to shine a light on the snail trail, assuming that would make it kind of more reflective so I can follow it easier. And then I would go to the drawing room and figure out what I see.
For a guy who doesn't say a lot, he sure moves around a bunch.
All right, you enter the drawing room and the lights are off. And you see a person. He's just sitting there, and just letting the little larger larvae crawl up onto him.
Is there a light switch nearby?
There is.
I would like to turn it on.
You turn it on, and what you see is ghastly.
Well, I hope you're enjoying it so far. I don't know exactly where Chowder's putting the break at this point, but however creepy the episode is so far, just trust me, it's gonna get creepier. I laughed out loud so many times listening to the earlier cuts of this episode. I want to give a big thanks to everyone guesting on this episode. Microphones and Monsters especially have been great friends in the space doing the pod's work out there, and I hope that you'll give them a little look-see as well. But this is going to be a seasonal update really quickly. We're going to be posting this information in our Discord server as well as on dicepopuli.com, but I'm just going to run down all the stuff that we've been trying to cover in the scope of a season. So again, for those who might just be joining or not super familiar with it, we just wrapped our first community season, which is along the lines of, like, you know, a season in a game like Fortnite or Destiny, where for 3 months we try to do a lot of stuff along a single theme. We're, you know, a small group of folks, so we do our best. We just are now concluding our inaugural season of the Jerrys. If you're listening to this episode, you are most certainly familiar. Well, if you're a Dice Populi fan listening to this episode, you're most certainly familiar with the beloved undead pirate that is a part of our group. And it is also the name of the moderator bot that we have in our Discord. And as we were finding our footing, we thought, what better to name the season than Jerry? But now, with our sea legs underneath us, let's wrap that up. Season of the Jerrys. We had a community goal to get an additional 500 listeners to the podcast. A little ambitious for a group of our size. We came a little short. We peaked over 300 new listens that I can confirm. The number might be a little bit higher, but I know for a fact there were at least 300 new people coming on board. So for those sharing the show, thank you so much. Unfortunately, that does mean that we won't be getting the Jerry-themed merchandise right away, but I'll circle back to that idea in just a little bit. Another seasonal thing that we've been doing is, since launching a Patreon, we are committing a portion of our profits to charity. And for Season of the Jerrys, that charity was Able Gamers, which is a group dedicated to providing accessibility options and needs so that everybody can enjoy gaming no matter what their circumstance may be. We have amassed about $56 that we are going to be putting straight towards that charity. So thank you to everybody who has contributed to us, and by extension to Able Gamers. Lastly, using our seasonal tracking bot Uge in the Discord server, we have a seasonal victor for Season of the Jerrys, and this will be no surprise to folks that are part of that community. Dreamy Ray, Plushy Ray, Princess Plushy, Rachel Sanrilis wins the Discord Season of the Jerrys by a mile. Uge tracks contribution and activity in the Discord, and she has really made that place her own home and has been an absolute delight the entire way. So we're going to be partnering with them to make sure that they get a giveaway. We don't just want to, like, give away things that we think are cool, but we're going to use money from the Patreon to give these awards at the end of each season for those who really stand out in the community. So congratulations. We will be partnering with you individually to make sure you get your prize. Now that begs the question, Jerry is out, what's in? Well, to repeat myself with our sea legs under us, we're going to sort of go into the territory we're familiar with, looking at the arc of Dicey Waters. We are going to be launching into the Season of the Pirates. So Season of the Pirates is going to last now until our next Fifth Wednesday episode, which should be about 3 months from now. And let me just go over what that's going to mean and what kind of changes we are bringing to the table. First, let's start with the community goal. We would like to hit 50 total patrons. We're already around 25 on our Patreon. And if you ever want to refer someone to our Patreon, you can send them to dicepopuli.com. There's a link right there. But we would like to hit a total of 50 patrons by the end of the Season of the Pirates. And if we hit that number, I will produce and release the fourth volume of the Dicey Waters soundtrack, which will be the music for Matt's adventure, A Second Chance. That is some of the most fun I had composing. Matt described the core melody of Arianor as melancholy Skyrim, and I think that was dead on. But I did have a lot of fun with some detail. I got to do a Q&A on music one of these days. But the Volume 4 soundtrack is on the docket. If we can hit a total of 50 patrons, and remember, there's like a $2 a month chip jar thing, even if you just want to, you know, help juice those numbers. But if we can hit 50 patrons this season, we'll put out a new soundtrack. So we'll do our part. We certainly hope that if you think it's worth the investment, that you'll recommend it to others. Now, what is that investment? Let's talk our Patreon. So for the Season of the Pirates, 20% of our profits are going to be donated to a new therapy. Given the surge of anti-Asian hostility in the United States lately, we have selected to donate to the AAPI Journalist Therapy and Relief Fund, AAPI being Asian American Pacific Islanders. So that is a fund that essentially supports journalists with an AAPI background that have to deal with these kinds of attacks and hostility and make sure that they have the resources they need to continue on healthily. So 20% of all the Patreon money that we get over the next 3 months is going to head to that therapy. And that comes after the Patreon fees. It's the money that we get that we'll be donating. As far as how we used our funds from last season, we had a total of about, just for transparency so you guys can see what's going on, after all the Patreon fees, we had about $221 in revenue. Thank you so much. The $56 of that is going to Able Gamers. $65 of that is going to hosting costs. The remainder is going to be used for things like outreach, paying taxes, and some other projects that we've got, and, you know, the rewards for people who win our seasonal outings. If you do join the Patreon, though, aside from knowing where the money goes, a couple things. One, Entrenched is our bonus campaign. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, tomorrow will be the release of the third episode. Ryan has a bonus campaign set in the world of Eberron using the Quest TTRPG system, where we all play different characters and Ryan runs the show. It is a very different beast. It has its own tone and music. Pat has done a great job editing it and putting it together. I think it's really something special. Ryan braved the waters by doing It Came in the Night so early on before we knew really what we were doing, and now he's getting a chance to really shine, and it shines. It feels so tangibly like another great thing. So Entrenched has 3 episodes up, and we'll be releasing those monthly. There are multiple bonus episodes available as well, and we'll be dropping some blooper content in there this week. A little behind schedule, but that'll be in there as well. So joining the Patreon allows us to do these kinds of things and make this extra content for you. If you join at the $5 level, you will get the Entrenched campaign, as well as knowing that your money is going to a good cause and to buy Rachel stuff. So for other aspects of our community and updates, our Discord is pretty active. We got some more folks popping in there. Seems like almost every day, every week. So just a couple quick updates here. We are going to adjust the roles of Patreon subscribers who link to their Discord, because right now they get either a yellow or an orange, but that kind of takes away from the fun of the color of seeing their lifetime ranks. If you just message in the Discord, you have a lifetime experience that builds up and you get assigned cool roles based on that. And honestly, I feel like we've been missing the color. So after asking our patrons, we're going to be taking away the orange and yellow to make sure that people have their lifetime work in the server shown. And we'll be listening to feedback and making adjustments on the fly, but for now, just an aesthetic change that we think will be nice. We have added a new role for people who reach level 30. We are now into the roles that reflect It Came in the Night, so there is a Beast Hunter role that Rachel has acquired, and that has sort of a lightish red color to it, and that will be sort of red to match the theme. The art for It Came in the Night. We're going to be adding a new piratey emoji. We'll probably partner with some of our more artistic members of the community. Something that we're going to keep for this season and probably remove after. Eventually, we'll have to make changes to our whole emoji situation, but for now, we're just going to give you a fun new pirate emoji. Otherwise, two big things. We are going to continue bi-weekly live listen sessions. So whenever we come out with a new episode, we typically get together with the community. Sometimes us cast members can make it. Sometimes we cannot. But there is a group listen party where everybody listens to the track together and have some really fun discussions. I've been a part of 2 of them, and they are a blast. We also want to get back to sort of why we started the server to begin with. It wasn't meant to be this community thing. Ryan just wanted to host a few game nights. So what we're going to commit to is at least once a month, we are going to have a cast member hosted game night or movie night We'll be sure to take polls. Each cast member may have their own ideas, but that means at least three times a month we are going to have group activities fostered by us to try to keep that Discord a lively place. So if you haven't joined up, even if you don't want to talk all the time, that is fine. If you do, that's also fine. But we're doing our best to make sure it's a place for everybody who wants to hang out, talk about Dice Populi, and just be nerds together. Another big thing that I would like to mention is we've had a lot of questions about merch, and we have developed a strategy for how we'd like to handle it. This is going to be put in place over the course of this season, and by the end, we will have some stuff live. That is our goal. We will see if we can stick to that as well as we hope. But here's the plan. Essentially, we want to have five sort of evergreen products that are going to be available via like a dropship company where we don't have to put up a lot of upfront money. But basic things like stickers, mugs, if we can, dice bags. Look at kind of the options we have for what kind of small knickknacks you can use to show stuff off. Maybe window stickers, I don't know. Otherwise, we are also going to try to have one limited run project each season after this, where we partner actually with community members, people that might be a little bit smaller in scale, but I mean, we've had some great partners. Like, I've gotten some custom dice and things like that from folks in the TTRPG space. And we're looking at designing a product with the community, taking orders over the course of the season, and partnering again with a community product developer to make it and then fulfill the orders at the end of the season. And each one of those will be a special one and done, get them while they last, and we'll probably never make them again. That's currently the plan. So we are going to work with the community to figure out what you guys want to see. But that's the idea. Five small things that you can buy kind of whatever, and then one big special thing each season if it tickles your fancy. But I think that's about all the big stuff. Yeah, so the Patreon stuff, Entrenched is swinging. We want to get 50 patrons if we can. Discord, we've got the slight adjustments to the roles and more community activities. We got merch plans that we're going to roll out over the next few months. As far as the future plans, Locked and Loaded has several more episodes left, so buckle up for a couple more months of Pat's piratey, stinky adventure. And after Locked and Loaded, we are going to take a slight break from normal programming and release an episode or two of Entrenched into the main feed. At that point, we'll have several more episodes of Entrenched out, but this will give folks that haven't checked out the Patreon a little taste of what goodness they could be getting. And after those air, we're going to return with an above board run by me. I have not planned it, and I'm terrified, and move into Chowder's adventure, which he is planning, and I'm not terrified. I'm so excited for it. And then at the end of the season, we'll talk about who our winner is, how much we raised for the AAPI Journalist Therapy Relief Fund, and whether we met our seasonal goal of 50 patrons. That was a lot of talking, and thank you so much for listening through it, if you did. I know usually these are a lot more flavorful with multiple people in them, but let me get out of the way and let you get back to Hayward's soiree. Thank you to everybody who's listening, sharing everything, and thank you so much to Chowder for putting this together. Big props. He came up with the idea and offered to edit it all on his own, just completely his craft, start to finish. Bravo. I'll let you get back to it. I've been Colin, and I'll see you next week with another episode of Dicey Waters Locked and Loaded. Back to Hayward Soiree.
The head turns to you. The man's head is just holes and a half-eaten eye, and ooh, just like a mass of just wriggling maggots. And it takes the larva and starts holding it close and just backing away from you. And I want you to roll for insanity real quick.
So it's a corpse that's holding the larva, yes?
Well, it's a body with missing eyeballs.
Well, one's hanging. So wait.
Might not be a corpse.
What do I roll for insanity? Do I roll the percentile, right?
It's the percentile, and you have to get under your power or your insanity, right?
Under your sanity, yep.
Under sanity. Okay. 24, which is definitely under my sanity, thankfully.
I got a 64, which is over my sanity.
I got a 10, which is under my sanity.
All right, so those of you who succeed, you take only 2 points of sanity loss, and Git, you take a 1d8 of sanity.
That's
an 8. That sucks.
As soon as Primo sees that and recovers from the shock, he's gonna draw his revolver and fire.
Yeah, you just hit that thing because it's not exactly because like, you know, it's a firearm and it's just pretty in range and easy target. Yeah, roll damage. So you fire a shot and it hits its shoulder and it opens up a wound, revealing a couple more larvae, and about the same size as the larvae it's holding, and it starts to run to the piano in the back. Keep in mind, when combat happens, it's really just
first come, first serve, baby.
Right. So what I would like to do is, is there anything wooden or like made of paper in this room that I can easily grab?
Yes. There's some papers on a small coffee table.
Okay. I want to take those, kind of roll them up and stick them in my flask and light it on fire using my lighter.
Whoa, all right.
And
does it...
You can still attack.
Does it? Yeah, I just want to like kind of move towards it, holding the fire out in front of me and see if it reacts to the flame.
Wow.
It's got its back turned to you, but it seems to be trying to move the piano. You hit, and it's another shot, and this one is to the leg, and it falls over, but not before dragging the piano along with it to show like the rug under the piano.
Man, this thing's really confused about what it is, huh? I fire again.
All right, and so the monster starts to just try to cover the larva with its own body, like
shield them.
Protect
shield
it.
Them, yeah.
I'm gonna try to like grab the corpse and lift it up to give Primo a better shot. Would that be like a strength?
That would be a fighting maneuver. So you fighting basically maneuver. Like okay. Roll percentile for fighting brawl.
For
and,
brawl.
And I got to challenge that.
Fight the way of this doctor thinks. Like, no hesitation. Was like, all right, this is what we're doing.
I got a 33.
Beats my 92. So, yeah, it's wide open.
He was going to. Like, if he's wide open, he was just gonna empty, like, the revolver and do it. He's still got three more shots, so he's gonna fire all three if he can.
Okay. It is dead now. But the the maggots and larvae are still writhing around.
I wanna pick one up.
So, what was that? Anyone, any suggestions, comments, thoughts about the philosophy of death and perhaps afterlife, huh? Because, I'll be honest, guys. Oh, no. Reggie, you're really calm right now. I don't know how you're staying so calm, Reggie. Reggie, can you tell me, Reggie, why you're so calm, Reggie?
Well, I can't say that I'm really all that calm, but I guess it's a good thing the y'all guys handled that.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up one of the larvae and kind of study it. Would that be like a science role? Would that be
I would say science. Yeah.
Hey, Doc, whatever you're doing, better do it fast, he says as he reloads his revolver.
I got a 41, my science is 70.
All right. So you see that this thing is the larvae of a wasp. Not the same wasp as what you read in the encyclopedia, but like it is like a has the similar characteristics to that of a wasp than what thin waist, two segmented bodies, that kind of stuff. And
how many are there?
There are 5.
Oh, God. Okay.
Are they small enough to squish?
Yes, but it's
are
like...
Are you going to squish them?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm still holding one of them, so you can't squish that one, but you can squish the rest of them.
All right, so he's just squishing them. If that works, he's actually going to look over. He's just going to try to slap it out of, you know, Dr. Jet's hand. He's like, stop playing with your food. And, like, squishes that one.
He's not food. He's little baby creature.
Do I have to, like, roll...
To avoid it? I don't know, can I just do brawl? That or like what?
Oh, wait, are you like opposing like him, his attempt to like squish
I don't it? Want him to slap it out of my hands. No, I want to keep studying it.
Yeah. Yeah, so you both roll like brawl and...
Okay.
Yes. P-P-P-P-P-P.
Yep. Oof. Okay, I got a 50.
Okay. And Keenan?
I got a 3.
All right. Yeah, so you do slap it out of his hand, and I guess squish. Yep. You get to squish it. Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Son
what
were you doing, huh? What, there's a little baby creature. That's what you sound like. You sound like, oh, let me just grab the corpse thing, you know? Why don't you go look at the piano or something?
This could have been murderer. Now we never
the
know.
The bug was the murderer?
You saw it, buddy. You saw a missing part of buddy.
No, what I'm saying is, sure, I do believe... Okay, Reggie, tiebreaker. Let me run something by you. What do you think did this murder? A person with motivations? Or a bug? That's a bug.
Well, I suppose if you think about it, the term murder does kind of imply intent. So I don't know if I could say that the bug really could have possibly murdered anybody.
See? And that's Reggie. Reggie does a radio show. He's a really smart guy. So listen... That means he's bugging no murderer.
You misinterpret intent. Intent not to kill. Intent to eat.
I'll point down at the squished bodies and say, this eat body. This kill body for food. Do you understand?
No, I understand. I really do. I really do.
It's good thing you are strong. Because you are not smart.
And then I'm going to go back to the body.
He kind of looks incredulous back at Reggie. He's like, it's just, you know, I come to this place, to New York, and you know, in New York, no one has talked to me that since the nuns.
More people should. And then I'm going to, like, lift up the carpet and see what's underneath it.
You lift up the carpet to see a sort of a cellar, like a door to a cellar.
Newsman, do you have camera?
No. We're radio. We don't really use cameras.
Take good notes, and then I'm going to open the cellar door.
All right, you open the cellar door to see a set of stairs going down. You can see like that it's like a wine cellar with like what looks like a shelf of bottles.
I'm going to take my burning flask and hand it to Primo for... a lantern, and then I'm gonna take back my radioactive lantern for light and head down. Follow me.
You head down and you see rows and rows of bottles, and you also see like giant barrels and stuff, and it's pretty dark, so make a spot hidden check for me real quick.
Does my lantern not help us?
Your lantern does help you, so like
just
so roll the D100 twice and take the highest of the two.
Okay.
Are we all rolling?
Lowest of the two?
Huh? Oh, the lowest of the two, yes.
Right, yeah.
Chowder, are we all rolling or just Pat Day?
You're all rolling.
I did not do very well. I got a 65.
Damn, I'm actually doing it. That's a 5. All right.
Hey.
All right, I end up with 51 to my skill of 70.
Okay.
Wow. You do.
Well, you know, when you're a reporter, you got to see everything.
Primo and Reggie, you see out of the corner of your eye something swooping down. And it tackles Gint to the ground. And you're hearing, like, buzzing going on. And it is a big fuck-off wasp that you're seeing. About the the size of a chair, basically.
Primo throws his little lantern torch thing little flatcher right at it.
I'm going to die.
Yeah. Roll, I would say, throw?
It'd probably be throw.
Yeah, throw. Yeah.
I don't know what that stat is. Give me 1 second.
It's 20% normally, so if you didn't put anything into it, it's 20.
And Gint, do you want to dodge or do nothing?
I got 22, so I'm going to use luck, and I'm going to take 3 luck so I can, you know, that will work out
succeed.
Pretty well.
I will attempt to, like, roll out of the grasp of this guy, like, not really try to push him or anything, just tuck my arms and legs in and just spin.
Okay, and roll dodge for me. So that would be...
Don't fail me now. Yeah, I got it. I got a 26, but my dodge is 25. I'm going to use my luck 2 points to push that to a success.
All right, you roll out of the way, and...
lucky people.
And the giant wasp is going to, try to, like, get out of the way as well. Gets a 22, and you got a 19, and... Yeah, so the wasp gets hit and is caught on fire. The fire illuminates more of the room, and you start to see that there's like 5 more wasps, same size, sort of like on top of like the large barrels. What looks like are drinking the wine, it seems.
Okay.
Primo, real quickly says, "Oh, were you with him?"
The wasps start charging in.
Yeah, I'm going to run.
Okay. What do the others do?
Reggie's going to try and scoop up one of the bottles and chuck it at one of the wasps.
Make a throw and then make a throw against...
I get a 41.
Oh, should we be rolling sanity again after seeing these?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you for reminding me that the wasp beats you. So what happens now is the wasp... uses its stinger and and it's not like a big stinger. It's actually very thin, almost like needle-like.
Oh no!
And
no.
And stabs you. I want you to roll luck.
73. Not good.
Not good indeed. All right. So you take 1d6 of damage. No, that's not d6. D4 of damage. Yep.
Primo sees Reggie get hurt, and he's going to fire at that wasp.
Right.
I got you, Reggie!
3 damage.
Okay.
Has it been an hour since the police chief said they were calling the police?
It has been about 50 minutes or so.
Oh my lord, we've done
these
so
are
much.
The police!
You fire at the wasp, and you do...
While they're fighting, I'm, like, running back to the main area.
That's a 3, and you said plus 2, so that's 5.
It's, taken damage, and it's, gotten off Reginald. And,
Reggie, let's ankle!
I'm guessing you mean run.
That is. Oh, well, that's a common expression of the time.
Not what I'm familiar with.
73 on your luck, and you that means you failed, right? I want to send you a quick message. So message sent, and what do you guys want to do now?
Yes, Primo wanted to save Reggie, but he did not want to save Reggie that much, so he is leaving.
As Primo's trying to leave, Reggie's actually going to kind of lunge to try and grab onto him.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh no!
Okay, so. If I try to avoid that, is it a brawl situation or whatever?
That would be dodge. So, like, dodge. He rolls for brawl, you roll for dodge, and depending on what you roll, well, like, if he... Depending on if he gets a success or you get a success, that'll affect who wins out in the outcome. The person with dodge has the advantage. So, like, if you both roll success, it's... Primo, who gets out of the way.
Pass it by 5. So, I have success.
It's 15 on 25, so I think that's just normal success as well.
Normal success. So, yeah, Primo manages to get out of the grasp of Reginald, And
question: Did Reginald look like angry, or was he like, oh, like help me, please, Primo, or was it like nefarious in intent?
I think it may be more apt to say just more of a blank expression,
almost zombie-like.
One could say that perhaps a small animal is burrowing its way through him. All right, so yeah, once he's free, he's gonna start running and try to catch up to Dr. Jet.
So the other wasps actually start to land on Reginald and start laying eggs inside. This gives you the opportunity to escape and
Reggie,
go up the stairs and get back into the drawing room. What do you do now?
Well, while I close the hatch and then I push the piano over, if I can, over on top of it.
Reggie's just gonna die.
Dr. Jet. Do you have a better idea?
Well, here's the thing now, right? Like, they finished laying their eggs in you, and you can still move around. And do stuff. And the basic idea is you're working against the group now. And basically, your priorities are...
Defend the hive.
Defend larva and help these wasps get more people to, like...
This is an oof.
So, I guess priority-wise, like, number one priority is defense, or number one priority is, like...
Number one priority is defense. Secondary priority is get more people. And basically, like, prevent these two from foiling your plans, as it were.
All right, Doc. So, recap. Killer bugs and Reggie's friends with them now, apparently. Underneath there, they already killed Haywood's wife. Let's talk to Haywood. How's that sound?
I think we need to warn the party guests.
Oh, fuck the party guests. Those are a bunch of squares. I'm not even from here.
All right, so in walks the police chief, and he's like, kind of hunched over.
Oh, fuck, no. Primo just fires.
And, like, there... well, yeah, and there's, like, giant welts coming out of his back. And Primo fires.
I also open fire.
I'm just letting you know, Primo is not... He's just not messing around anymore. Reggie, who is the closest thing he ever knew in this game session, he just left, so he's not messing around. He fires... directly, and he draws his second weapon. He draws his Luger, and he's ready.
Yeah, so he's gonna try to dodge. So, roll firearm real quick.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah.
I'm also shooting.
Oh, don't even need to roll the other one, but you know,
you have
passed.
A gun?
I do have a gun.
Okay.
Hell yeah!
You think a Russian's not gonna have a gun?
You know what,
America? I love when characters who you don't think are armed are armed.
I got an 8.
All right.
So that's a hard
3 out of 50.
Success.
All right. Both of you roll damage.
Do I get anything special for being a hard success?
Yeah, you're right. A hard success, you basically roll max damage on your thing.
Oh, okay. 10.
All right.
I guess if it's still 6, I only got a 1 plus 2, so 3.
Okay, so altogether, you do manage to down... the police chief, and like from his back bursts like three large larvae.
Oh my god!
Huge, not like the inch long thing you saw it for.
How big?
We're talking like the size of a water bottle, basically. So each of them the size of a water bottle, and they're like crawling towards you right now.
I'd start stomping.
Stomping.
You take this time to start stomping, and we will cut to Reginald, who is in the basement, and like the wasps have like started to like try to move outside, and they're like pushing against the cellar door.
Is there any other exit to the cellar that I can see?
Yes, there seems to be a sort of chute that in the back corner.
So kind of like a dumbwaiter kind of thing, or
yeah, or it would seem it's like closed. It's like a dumb. It looks like a dumbwaiter, but like it's closed. It's like a closed. It's a closed door right now, so you know it's not. You can't see into it yet.
Well, I'm gonna go and try and open that up and investigate further.
All right, you open that up and you see that it's actually a secret lift that you can take.
Wonderful. Well, I guess I will be taking that lift then.
Yeah, so you take the lift and it leads to the second floor, the same floor where you met Mr. Hayward. You walk out and you are in a hallway.
Like same side, like where Mr. Hayward's was.
Yeah.
So I'll probably go ahead and try and see if I can knock on that door to get somebody to come out.
You knock on the door and it creaks open and you see Mr. Hayward peek out, and then you hear and he like opens the door. You're with us then. And like you see now that like Hayward is also like hunched over with like giant welts on his back.
Oh well, yeah, I suppose so.
Man, he is very like, casual about that.
I don't know why I expected like some sort of like sloppy like yes or just like ah yes here we are. How about we go downstairs and murder everyone else?
Oh yeah, totally.
So
I guess it's time for the killing.
Ha-ha-ha. This just in, newsflash, party murdered by handsome, attractive host.
All the party guests as hosts. And, well, you see, if we control them, we can spread even further.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic plan. Just the bee's knees.
So he swings open the doors to show, like, just, like, there's, like, just bodies, or several bodies on the ground. Owned much like the same way his wife was, and also like a bunch of wasps.
Was his room always like that?
Yeah,
man. Because I'll be honest, Chowder. My first instinct, and I want you to appreciate this, when you like sent the bodyguards out, was to shoot them. So like, I'm really glad I like played along with this.
At this point, after we're done stomping, I'm going to run back to, like, the main area and scout out the damages, see how many people are still around, if it's just, like, a bloodbath or what.
I'm following.
All right. So you go out to see that, like, people are running about right now, and there are some who are just sort of standing there. And that's when you start to see more wafts coming from...
Jesus fucking Christ.
From the upper rooms.
Question. Is there a fireplace?
I think we have the same idea right now.
Let's see. You saw a fireplace on your way to the library. It's like a room across from the library. There was a bedroom and a bedroom of sorts, and there was like a fireplace in that bedroom. Yep.
It's a chimney. Let's smoke them out.
Yeah.
So we're going to make a beeline for that.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the library and grab a whole bunch of books. And then I'm going to light them on fire.
I'm going to, like, fire my, like, gun. I'm covering him, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. My plan is to grab a whole bunch of books, light them all on fire, and just start chucking them into random places to light the entire place up.
Yeah, I have a lighter, so I'm gonna help him. Like, he's gonna
just like set random drapes on fire as we're going.
Yeah, like drapes and stuff. We're this place is going down.
All right, so like Hayward and his butlers have gone down the stairs
and his goons,
and like you see chefs running down the hall, and they spot you.
Not the service.
And they try to stop you now.
I don't know if I want to kill. Like, I mean, they're possessed, but like, you want to know what's really like controlling them? Capitalism.
We're
going to
kill them anyway by setting the entire place on fire, okay?
All right. Yeah, I guess, Primo's going to fire at him. He's honestly, Primo's probably upset that anyone would even try to kill him, let alone like the help.
Roll for firearm.
Still good.
72. So yeah, you shoot him and you deal or roll for damage.
Do you want me to roll for both my guns?
Yeah, roll for both your guns.
Sweet.
Running down the hallway, sideways shooting everybody.
One's five, so that's seven. One's four, so that's six.
Four and six. Yeah. So you kill the chef, and there's another chef, and he like lunges for all. Do you choose to fight back, dodge, or do nothing?
I will dodge.
I'm gonna brawl. I forgot I put a lot of points in brawl.
I got a 47.
Okay. So the chef manages to grab Gintz, and the chef manages to grab Gintz and deals 1 point of damage to you. And what did you get on your...
Oh, I got below 50 something.
All right. So you pistol whip the thing and you deal 1d4 of damage.
Does he get his damage bonus to that?
I'd say no, since you're just kind of improvising a thing instead of using like an actual weapon.
That's three.
All right. You deal 3 points of damage. Let's cut back to Reginald real quick. What does he do?
I guess really Reginald has nowhere else to go but kind of to try and accompany Mr. Hayward. There's nobody else that he really knows of back there. So I guess he would actually go up that way.
All right. So there's a butler approaches Mr. Hayward and tells him they're trying to start a fire, and points towards the to where they are. Mr. Hayward directs you to go there.
So I'll go ahead and head out that direction. I guess I'll also like as heading out there. Hey guys, you know, it's fine. You don't really have to try and light everything on fire. That's fine. I mean, everything's good here, right?
I'm gonna open fire on the guy who's currently on me still.
I'm gonna see if I can hit him too.
All right.
I'm point blank at this point. Does that make it easier for me?
I mean, like, he's like on you, so like,
right.
I'd say that actually makes it harder for you, because like, it's not like you like you're struggling with him right now, so like, I'd say you
I
actually
feel like it would be pretty easy to just put my gun up directly against him though and shoot.
Okay, yeah, roll 2d 100s and take the higher of the two.
Okay.
Not the higher, the lower.
I got a zero.
Zero. And what did you get for like...
Straight up zero.
All right. And what did you get on your D10?
Zero. Like all zeros. So that's 10, right? Yeah. I got a six. Okay. Six total. So yeah, I got a six, which is not an extreme success. It's a hard success.
Okay. It's a hard success.
Just max damage again? Or?
Yeah. Max damage.
Okay. That's a 10.
You shoot him and he dies. And what do you do now? You hear footsteps coming down the hall.
Behind me or in front of me?
Behind you.
I'm going to turn around and open fire to try to cover my escape, like suppressing fire.
You throw out some suppressing fire, and from Mr. Hayward and Reginald's perspective, like you're like hearing bangs and things beside you, like vases and paintings on a wall are like getting shot, and you realize you're under fire. What do you do?
Well, I guess really, like, I would end up still having to try and go out to stop them from setting things on fire, much to my own chagrin.
Okay.
So I'm going to continue out towards them.
Okay. So I say roll for luck.
Hey, Pat. If it all goes south, I have a plan.
Okay.
62, which is still a fail.
Okay. So a bullet like ricochets off the wall and hits you. Because it's just a ricochet, you just take a d4 of damage.
Can we see him?
Yeah, you see him now.
All right. So it's another 3 damage.
I took you under my wing.
Hmm. How much are you at right now? Wondering.
I have taken 6 damage so far.
Hmm. All right.
Which?
And like, how much did you have to start with?
Total of 11, so current is 5.
Okay, just wondering. All right.
Oh, you're going to transform. Gross.
Gross.
I swear.
All right. You have a way out, Primo and Gintz. So what you're going to do is, or what do you want to do is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I believe we're trying to get to the library so we can get to the chimney.
So I can get, like, fodder to burn.
Yeah, okay. So that way we can,
I'm essentially trying to light the entire mansion on fire.
Yeah, we're trying
is my
to,
plan.
We're trying
all right.
To, we're going to light the library because we think that's the best place.
You get into the library and, wait, no, didn't you come, aren't you coming from the library, though? Like, you were getting books and the chimney is in
right,
the bedroom.
I just wasn't sure. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't sure at what point the chefs had interceded us.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
You were,
so,
yeah, you were out of,
okay.
You were, like, right out the library and the,
And yeah, I'm running into that second room to get the chimney to put all my books in, set them on fire, and just like start chucking them all over the house as far as I can. Yeah,
you know, just so you know, which is a
just
fact.
To smoke it out. Yeah,
which should weaken the wasps if they breathe via I don't know what's it. It's not like ram ventilation.
I mean, it's also going to make it harder for us to breathe. But
I'm okay with that. Primo would rather die than become a bug.
Yeah.
All right. So the bedroom. Aside from the where you came, there's another way out on the left. There's another way out on the left side. Reginald, by this point, you've made it to the room that they're in, and you see the other two.
Hey guys, how's everything been? It's been all right for me. Things are pretty good. You should just give up and join us.
Hey, nuts to you, Reggie.
Or can I notice anybody else chasing after us, or is it just Reggie at this point?
It's just Reggie at this point. He, like, went ahead further than Hayward.
I'm going to try to grab Reggie and, like, hold his back to the fire to see if that makes the larva come to the surface. And if that does, I'm going to try to remove them from his body.
If it works, Primo will help. If it doesn't, Primo has some help.
Like, you see, like, wriggling coming out from under his back. They are reacting to the fire.
Question. Does Primo see this?
Primo sees this, yep.
Primo puts back one of his guns and draws his knife.
All right.
So anyways, I started slashing.
Yeah, he's basically, he's going to slash the wrigglings to hopefully, you know, he's trying to save Reggie.
Roll for damage, because, like, you still are slashing at the dude.
I'm okay with that. I don't know how Reggie is, but, you know, I'm okay with that. Not sure I don't have a damage written for my knife. What would you put a knife at?
Is it, how big would you say the knife is? Is it like a medium knife, like a kitchen knife, or a big old Bowie knife or something?
It's more like a kitchen knife. Like, it's like a knife he's definitely used to kill people, but it's not like, this is a knife kind of knife.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's 1d4 plus 2.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Not for Reggie. Well, I mean, actually, this is probably what Reggie would prefer. That's 3 plus 2, 5. I don't know if that's good
or
bad.
All right. You cut at Reggie, and unfortunately, between the previous damage he's taken and what you've done now, he dies out of blood loss. And out pops the larvae, and it starts like biting into you.
Me?
Which one of us?
Yeah, it would sound like both of us have a good chance of getting bit.
Roll for luck, both of you.
Okay.
All right, so that's still percentile. Let's see what happens.
Yep. I got an 82, which is very much not
87. I'm not sure what my luck is. Give me a second.
And what are both of your lucks?
My luck is 48.
Okay.
Yeah, mine's 87, so I'm not. Yeah.
Your luck is 87?
No, you rolled 87. I rolled an 87.
And what's your luck?
So if you...
Yeah, it's like 40.
So my luck is higher, and he rolled higher.
Yeah, so it's going to be coming after Primo.
I had a plan.
I don't know how dying works in this. Is he just, like, stabilized at zero? Is actively dead?
No, this is Call of Cthulhu. You die.
Yeah, this is Call of Cthulhu. You just,
what the fuck?
Die.
Yeah, it's Call of Cthulhu. You're not supposed to fight things in Call of Cthulhu. We're supposed to run, and every once in a while be like, don't make me... Shoot.
Okay, but like, since your character is dead now, you're gonna take control of Mr. Hayward.
Oh
okay.
My god.
Ah, great. Wow.
Oh, I was gonna try to work some mad scientist magic on your body, but
don't worry, I have a plan.
If you're telling me there's no chance of that working, then I guess I won't.
Yeah, I'd much rather just give him control of a different character.
That's fine.
All right. So as Mr. Hayward, you actually have the ability to, like, call out commands to, like, other parasitized people.
Infected people.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, wasps can give you command via, like, the buzzing sound they make, high-frequency buzzing sound they make.
Oh, that's fucking annoying.
Nifty.
Yeah, so you're like, right now you're hearing from the buzzing to stop the fire. Stop the fires, but first kill these two pests.
Ne'er-do-wells.
these wrenches, monkey wrenches here, and, like, stop them.
Boo. All right. Well, I guess, like, how many parasitized people are in my vicinity?
There are two behind you, but, like, there are also, like, people standing around doing nothing, so roll to see how many parasitized people there are. That is, yeah, there are five, like, parasitized guests around you.
And not including the two that are behind me?
Not including the two behind you, yep.
Okay, well, I'll yell over to the five that are just kind of loafing around. You, all of you over there, stop wasting time and go get them. And I'll point out towards the room where they are.
They hear you and start running towards Primo and Gintz. And do you do anything else?
No, I think Mr. Hayward's definitely the more hands-off kind of guy.
Okay.
Definitely the kind to tell people to do his dirty work.
I mean, you know, like, I'm not going to micromanage your, you know, a simulation, man.
All right, so back to Primo. You got a larvae on you, and the room is, you know, the fire starting to spread. So what do you and Gintz do?
I'm going to try to throw the larva into the fire.
Okay. I'd say make both a throw and a...
Which one first?
First fight brawl, then throw, yep.
Also, Chowder, my name is Gent.
Gent? Have I been saying it wrong the whole time?
You've been saying Gintz the entire time.
I have... 35. Written down Gintz, right. And that's what I... Fuck me. Oh, God.
So the fighting brawl works. Let me check my throw. I doubt it's good. All right. My throw is 20. Let's see what's up. Throw did not work. That's 75 out of... Oof.
Out of 20. Do not even...
I kind of want to push it, but like...
Push it.
all right, let's push it.
Do
you
it.
Fuck it. Let's push it. It's endgame, and I have a plan regardless of what happens, okay? That's worse. That's an 83. Yeah, that's not under 20.
All right. So you throw it, but as in your flailing, it didn't really hit the fire, and instead just hits the wall. And then you hear it making a screeching sound. And
perfect.
You start hearing buzzing from outside the windows.
Outside? How'd they get outside already?
Hey. Well, there are more wasps upstairs, and they can move through windows.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah?
What did you say that lantern was made of?
Uranium.
Uranium burn?
It more explode than burn.
Sounds like we got our accelerant, baby.
You want me to throw this in
the fire? I want you to throw your nuclear lantern into the fire. This is Primo's endgame, baby.
So, I know that just throwing it in the fire is not going to do anything. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to place it near the fire. I'm going to go towards a window, or if there are any windows near me.
Yeah.
Are there?
Okay. There are windows.
Go towards
here.
The window. I'm going to elbow it to, like, break the glass.
You have a gun.
I'm going to... Yeah. I'm not going to shoot the window to break it.
Oh, it's called breaking glass with a gun. Okay? What are you talking about?
I'm going to throw Primo out of the window.
Do you
and
say
I'm
throw
gonna try...
Primo out of the window?
We're going outside. Because okay. this is gonna suck. All right. I'm going to throw him out the window. I'm going to, like, mount the window with one leg in and one leg out. Shoot the lantern to, like, make it go explode. And then I'm going to try to, like, duck out of the window at the same time. So all right. This is all going to be, like, a pretty wild...
Primo's going to, like... we're both going to shoot it together.
Okay, that's fine.
We're having a best friend moment right now.
All right.
So, yeah, my plan with this is, since it's radioactive, if I blow it up, like, I'm hoping it just, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we on the water by any chance?
Yeah, so make a firearm check, both of you.
Okay.
Right before he does, he's like aiming down the sight, and he says, Reggie wanted the big scoop.
Oh. I got
37 below 50, yes.
So I failed mine.
It's all right, I passed.
All right, you passed. So
I'm pretty sure he didn't accidentally blow me up. That'd be rough.
Yeah, you shoot the lantern and it bursts, and you get out, and like you're outside, and you can see like the blast like come through the window, and it takes like a couple of wasps out with the couple of wasps that
a
were
couple?
Outside the window with
a
it.
A couple.
That sentence was
it's
poorly
a nuke.
Worded. No, that sentence was poorly worded. What I'm saying is there were two wasps out the window and they died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. About all right. Sad. I feel a little cheated here.
So you guys are outside, and let's cut to Mr. Hayward. And wasps have, started to, buzz around and, stinging people. So there are more people for you to order around now. And you hear, the boom and, the fire starts spreading even further now.
Well, I'll order a bunch of them that may be there now. Go to the cellar. Start helping evacuate.
What an able administrator. Cool under pressure.
You know, he's got some practice. He's had some rough business years. He pulled through it. I mean, he's got to have a cool head in these
moments. My years in the international trade have handled me for just this, evacuating my assimilatory predatory hive.
Exactly.
Also, can I get another time check since he supposedly called for backup? At this point, I'm not convinced he actually did call for backup. I want to know.
Fucking Primo. Oh, God. Let's set off a nuke inside his house. Fucking Haywood. Let's evacuate the hive. Dr. G. I don't think anyone called the police.
I'm just curious, okay?
I'm starting to think no one's coming. What's this party even for?
The time check is past the hour, and the police haven't come. And
the big twist, the big final twist.
And what basically happened was he got stung and never actually called the police. So
right, yeah.
So now everything's catching on fire. The building is burning, and you're seeing people carrying corpses over their shoulders, and the corpses are with full of maggots and larvae. And you see wasps trying to flee the flames. And so with the building burning down and a group just migrating out, what do you decide to do now?
Hayward or us?
You guys.
Okay.
Are we what floor are we on? Were we on the first floor?
Well, you jumped out the window, right? So
we jumped out the window, so we're on the ground now.
Yeah.
Sweet. Did the fall hurt?
No, it was on the ground floor, so...
Alright, sweet. Primo's a little conflicted, because on one hand, he wants to mop this up, because anything that happened here can potentially threaten New York, but on the other hand...
I don't know if you've noticed, but we played our trump card. I have no more radioactive material.
So what, we just leave?
Unless you have better ideas?
Can make sure the building burns.
I think we've done quite enough to burn building. If they can escape, it is out of our hands.
Did you drive here?
I mean, I don't know. Did I get here in a car?
What kind of fucking...
Do I have cars? Is there a parking lot?
Yes, there is a parking lot.
It's 1930. Everyone has a car.
I have idea. Okay. And then I'm going to go over to all the cars.
To Haywood's car.
I'm going to...
Not keys.
I mean, every single car. I don't care at this point if we're walking home. I'm going to every single car. I'm going to open all of their gas tanks and, shove flammable material into them and light them on fire.
All right. You do that. And, people are... And, non-parasitized guests are running over. They see
sucks
the car...
To suck.
Yeah. They see the cars blowing up and they... their way out is gone, and
you have leg use.
Right, Primo, if any of them like just stand there incredulously or start to argue, Primo just shoots at their feet.
Go, come on, aim straight. You heard right, the doc? He's a professional.
Yeah, so people start fleeing and running every which way.
Any ones that look kind of funny, maybe they've already been infected. Primo's gonna wing, and if they react like they've been possessed, he's gonna just kill them.
All right. So as burning wasps exit the building, some are just falling to the ground and burning up, while others are escaping to the nearby forest. And Mr. Hayward, so it's time that the welts in your back start bursting open and. Out pop like newly formed wasps who, like, fly out, leaving you to die. And with that, we leave our little one-shot, where the wasps have been foiled, but they're still alive to try this again.
Man, I was going to set the forest on fire.
There's more to burn, Chowder. You can't stop it.
And as Primo and Gents. Gents? Wait, say again?
Gent.
Gent.
Dr. Gent.
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 Like a gentleman, but Gent. Only the first part. We'll figure it out.
Look out into the fire, and they can at least rest assured that at least on this night, the wasps aren't going to be able to spread. But now they're not sure if the world will believe what they have just seen.
If only Reggie survive, he write story.
Reggie would know.
He go on news, and then I'm gonna take my second flask of vodka out and start drinking it.
I was going to say, I like Call of Cthulhu because other people try to really specialize in like finding stuff and knowing things. And I just make characters like Primo that's like, well, he has several weapons and he's very comfortable with violence.